this. Don't inject me, don't infect me. Don't stick that needle in my arm and chemically wreck me. Don't inject me, don't infect me.
Well, it's great. Let's get right to the show. I want to welcome everybody to the National News Talk Hour. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Jonathan Landsman. And this show is being sponsored by the Natural News Moxor team. Our show today is Back to School, Protect You Kids. And our guest, Mike Adams, is editor of naturalnews.com. Mike is a natural health author and technology pioneer with a passion for teaching people how to improve their health. He has authored more than 1,500 articles and dozens of reports, guides, and interviews on natural health topics impacting the lives of millions of readers around the world who are experiencing phenomenal health benefits from reading his articles. Mike, I want to welcome you to the show, and thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan. And let me just say up front, I'm calling in from a remote location, so if I get disconnected, I'll just call right back and join in a minute or so. So don't worry, folks, if that happens, such is technology. But thanks for working with me on this, Jonathan. You're a great host, and we're going to have a great conversation. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I definitely want to start with just two very important disclaimers for everybody out there, and this will just take a moment. This show is definitely for just educational and entertainment purposes only. Always consult a trusted healthcare provider for any medical issues that concern you, and of course, make an informed decision. Also, disclaimer two is we are happy to announce on this show that we have not been approved by the FDA, CDC, or any other so-called health protective government agency. So I wanted to make that really clear. You know, Mike, I want to start with protecting our kids. You know, school is just about to start for most kids, you know, around the country next week after this Labor Day weekend. And I've been speaking to a lot of kids this past week. It was interesting. Right before this show, I just spoke to one girl who said that she was warned to her school, when she gets to school, don't give out any hugs and don't do any high fives. And also, I've spoken to a friend of mine who's a physician. He goes to a hospital. He does rounds. And what I've been hearing from him is hospital workers are being told that, well, if they don't want to do the swine flu vaccine for the upcoming flu season, that's okay. They can wear a mask when they go to work. But there's one other thing they should keep in mind. They run the risk of being terminated from their job.
So, oh, wow.
There's a lot going on here. I don't know. Where should we start? I mean, certainly parents and kids, they're being warned about this flu season. So what would you recommend? Where do we start with this, Mike?
Wow. Well, we start, I think, with the realization that America is becoming a vaccine police state. I mean, this is all being pushed so aggressively now. Like with those examples you just said, wow, you can be fired from your job for not getting the vaccine, even if you wear a mask and wash your hands and do all that stuff. That's really amazing. And yet at the same time, the CDC is out there saying, well, a million New Yorkers have already been infected. How many millions of Americans right. have already been infected? This, you can't contain this virus. Come on. You can't contain it right. with a mask. It's already out in the wild. Millions are already infected. I mean, so clearly containment, we're way past that. So what's the point? What's the point of all this stuff? Well,
you know, I had called the CDC a few weeks back, you know, and I just wanted to hear, you know, you hear stories and you read articles and you watch the news. But for me, you know, you got to try to figure things out a little bit more. So I picked up the phone and I called the FDA and the CDC. And exactly what you said is really all it was. I said, how do I protect my family? I'm very concerned about this whole flu season coming up. And it was like 5 points that they had said. I said, how can I protect my family from getting the flu? Three of them for prevention was wash your hands, cover your nose and mouth with a tissue, and be sure to throw it away. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, who saves tissue? Who saves tissues after they blow into them with their nose or sneeze and puts them and lets them dry out? But throw them away and walk around your house all the time with alcohol and just sort of wipe down your counters and your doorknobs and everything. And then the fourth item was, if you're sick, stay at home. And the other item was, if you see someone sick, avoid them. I said, well, how do you know if somebody's sick? So
right.
this was the level that the government was teaching us what to do. And now it's just ramping to a whole other level when I actually talk to people about, you know, what they need to keep in mind. for the flu season, you know, get your vaccine. But this show is going to be about talking about so many other things, right, Mike, that we can do so that we don't have to be so afraid of this upcoming flu season.
Well, yeah, exactly. Let's get right to that. In fact, and this is focused on school children. So if you're a parent and you've got kids going to school, you should automatically assume they're going to be exposed to the swine flu virus, period. They're going to be exposed.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many times you wash your hands or if you cough into your elbow or sneeze into your sleeve. It doesn't matter. There's so many germs running around schools these days, you're going to be exposed. So the question is, how do you survive exposure? That's the question that we should all be asking that the health authorities are refusing to really put as a priority. How do we survive exposure? And the answer to that starts with vitamin D and good nutrition and avoiding toxic chemicals, having healthy kids. And wow, I've never heard that from the White House, that we should have healthy kids. Or the CDC.
You know, Mike, I think we should stop for a moment and just sort of throw out to everyone, you know, our views. I mean, what is going on here, right? Obviously, if we say nutrition, I can just visualize everybody out there saying, yeah, of course. If you're eating better and you're feeling better and your immune system's up, then you have a stronger defense and you're less likely to get sick. But why? Why is it not being put out more? The only thing, you turn on the TV and it's this H1N1 vaccination program. That's it. Swine flu vaccines, vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. Nothing about nutrition. What's going on here?
Well, our country has been brainwashed by really a paradigm of Western medicine that believes only through intervention can people's health be protected or preserved, that the person themselves has no power over their own health. That's the predominant belief of Western medicine and the pharmaceutical industry. That's why they're pushing vaccines, because it's chemical intervention that takes away the power and the responsibility from the individuals and places it in the hands of health authorities and drug company executives and physicians who are administering the injections. So it's an intentional shift of power away from individualism, away from freedom, towards centralized control over health policy and control over the biochemistry of the population. That's what it really is about, Jonathan.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. When I go around trying to investigate the mindset as you're describing now, it's pervasive. You know, it's almost like it seems almost like we're the facts to say that, well, you can boost your immune system, you can build this defense system, and you don't have to worry about the flu. Yes, it's real, but you can do things so that you can feel great. But the mindset is definitely out there throughout the country, better living through chemistry.
Yeah,
you know, they're putting that message out there that we're, you know, we could become victims at any moment with all these things that are going on, and nobody's talking about what they already know this, though. The science is out there. That, like you mentioned, vitamin D. There is so much science. Isn't it, Mike? You do all this investing all the time for your articles. Aren't there thousands of studies that have shown a tremendous value of vitamin D levels being at a sufficient enough level? And we could talk about this a little bit more. If they're just at sufficient levels, we're going to be okay for just about all diseases, including cancer. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Vitamin D alone reduces cancer rates by 78%. Nearly 4 out of 5 cancers can be prevented just by vitamin D. But infectious disease is also hugely impacted by vitamin D, especially swine flu, because vitamin D, which you can get, of course, for free through sunlight. So, you know, your kids, look, if your kids have pale skin, they're not getting enough sunlight, period. And they have a sunlight deficiency. And that could end up costing them their lives in this pandemic. But vitamin D helps the body adapt its response to a swine flu infection so that it doesn't overreact and have an inflammatory effect that ends up killing the patient. So vitamin D is better than any drug, any vaccine, any antiviral that's ever been invented by any drug company in the history of human civilization, and yet no one is talking about it.
You know, my master's studies in exercise physiology, and I thought, you know, when I was in my 20s, I thought I knew everything. the older I get, the less I know. I've been doing interviews for, you know, in my health and wellness business, I've been talking to a lot of people, and Dr. William Grant, is one of those that if people are listening now and they want to learn more about vitamin D, there's the Vitamin D Council. Dr. William Grant is certainly another one. He talks so eloquently about vitamin D levels and how important they are. There's so much to this. I mean, if you're not getting enough sunlight, you can still do vitamin D supplementation, but that it's really critical, and you can just do a simple blood test to find out. He's saying most people in North America are way below the levels required to protect ourselves from these infectious diseases, illnesses, all the way up to, you know, serious conditions like cancer. He's saying the levels have to be somewhere between 50 and 80 micrograms. I mean, in the blood, you just measure it. And I said to him, I go out in the sun. He says, yeah, but where do you live? New York. So he's saying that, forget about it. You know, your levels could be 25 or 30 in vitamin D. You'd be very surprised. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, you've hit on it. This is really action item number one for parents who are sending their kids to school. Get their vitamin D levels checked. Even if your physician doesn't agree with this, chances are they just don't know.
Right.
They just don't know the research, the links between vitamin D and swine flu. Look, general practitioners are not specialists. They can't be experts in every area. You can go online.
Right.
You can use the National Library of Medicine, or you can use Google Scholar, or you can search my site, Natural News. You can educate yourself in 2 hours about a subject and end up actually being more knowledgeable about that specific area than a general practitioner physician. And this is certainly true with vitamin D and infectious disease. You can know more than your doctor with very little study.
You're very humble. I mean, people should know. You got something great on your site, on naturalnews.com. You have a whole thing on vitamin D. You've got a report. And who's that doctor? Dr. Michael?
Michael Holick. H-O-L-I-C-K.
A wealth of information. If people just go onto naturalnews.com and just go into your search bar and put vitamin D, I agree with you 100%. They're going to know, everyone's going to know so much more than their general practitioner probably does. Or even if he does know, he probably doesn't have a whole lot of time to devote to educating his patient base. I mean, most physicians, a good panel of patients is 2,000 or 3,000 patients they're going to have to make a living. I mean, they just don't have the time to go into this with each person.
Well, that's right. I'm really glad you pointed that out, because a lot of physicians, or some, I should say, they do know this information, and they're tired of trying to teach it to their patients because a lot of patients don't believe it. You know, a lot of patients, they want a prescription, and that's it. Give me those pills. They don't want to be told, go home and walk in the sun. And, you know, a lot of patients would say, huh? What kind of medicine is that? Well, it turns out it's the best medicine.
It's something good. Yeah.
It's what you need.
That's it. I think there's a lot of doctors out there who really do understand this. You see, this is a delicate thing, Mike, what we're talking about here. This is almost like too difficult to believe. But I speak to a lot of doctors, and there are a lot of doctors out there really frustrated, because there is that pervasive piece of the equation where they're burnt out. They are tired. They feel like, well, that's all people are looking for when they go into the doctor's office. They just want the pill. And if they go into any of this other stuff, they might get complaints levied against them. Like, what is this? Walking, being out in the sun? This is what I came to the doctor for. I came here for a pill. So I agree with you. This is really a shift in mindset that has to take place.
Oh, you got to realize doctors can actually have their license revoked by the state medical board if they recommend sunlight. Really? Seriously? I mean, they can be delicensed for that, because sunlight has never been approved by the FDA to treat anything, and it never will be, because who's going to pay the application fees? God? Is God going to – I'm applying for sunlight, cancer status for sunlight. You know, that's not going to happen.
Absolutely. When I called the CDC and the FDA, when I called these agencies and I said, okay, fine, they rattled off the list. I mean, of course, it was very obvious when I called up. The operators are just reading off a computer monitor, and they're literally reading what's being fed to them on a computer screen. These are just people answering the telephone. I said, what can we do to boost our immune system? Is there anything? No answer. Not one single thing could they give.
Yeah.
And like you say, the doctors, they run the risk of losing their license. They have to fall in line and do what's being handed down to them by the AMA, right? By governing bodies. If they don't do that, then they're out of a job. This is serious stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. They could be out of a job from the state licensing boards. So, as a parent, then, to get back to the practical items, what you got to do as a parent is take a look at your kid, take a look at their skin pigmentation. If they are not tan, right? Because we just came out of a summer. If they did not get a tan during the summer, they are deficient in vitamin D, almost certainly. Your kids have to be tan. I mean, if they're fair-skinned, you know, they should be tan. If they're like Hispanic skin, they should be dark. If they're African-American of dark skin pigmentation, they should be very dark. And they need even more sunlight. If they're of African-American descent, they need 10 times as much sunlight as a fair-skinned child to get the same amount of vitamin D.
But you see, this is great. I hope everybody can understand how incredibly important it is that we spend a couple of minutes like this, Mike, a little bit more on the vitamin D issue, because what you just said at the end, that's the deeper issues about understanding this. It's not only about just getting a tan, right? Because as William Grant and others who understand, you know, you can have this tan, and now it's more difficult to be raised that stimulate the vitamin D, which is actually a hormone in our body, that if we don't have enough of those rays getting in, enough every day, we're going to be deficient even if we have a tan. But I agree with you 100%. If your child is pale-skinned, there's a big risk, and anyone who's concerned about this could easily get this tested with a simple blood test.
Oh, yeah. I see kids going into the schools, and they are pale. They're pale because they spent their whole summer indoors playing with the Xbox or the Wii or whatever, you know, chatting on social networks all the time. They never got outside, and they're just pale white. They're going to break their bones very easily in gym class because they don't have bone density either. That's related to vitamin D. They're far more likely to have cancer. They're far more likely to be depressed or be diagnosed with ADHD. I mean, these vitamin D deficiencies cripple these children. And you look at a kid, if they're pale, they're suffering.
You just touched on another thing, too, as well. Now they're going into school. They're also very stressed out. I mean, we could spend a whole show on the emotional and the psychological aspects of being afraid all the time and being worried. And these kids are going to be stressed out, bombarded with a huge amount of demands all of a sudden after being very relaxed in the summer. Now they're going to go to school. The teachers are going to be barking at them, the parents. You know, as parents, I think we all have to be sensitive to this and kind of balance it out. But certainly emotional and psychological stress, that's a huge stress. And if the person is not well rested, I think this is a very important other protective factor, that if we rest our kids enough, that's great for the immune system. If they have poor rest and low vitamin D levels, wow, that is a perfect recipe for getting infections like the swine flu.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned sleep. It's hugely important, and a lot of kids are really sleep deprived. But also, you think about this. You know what the number one thing that elementary schools could be doing right now, or even high schools, to help their kids is to have more recess. Take them outside.
Right.
You know, just let them out of school. It'd probably be better for them than sitting in a classroom learning about how to wash your hands 50 times a day.
I could mention something that might sound far out there, but isn't the Maharshi University in, where are they, in Idaho? Or, it's slipping my mind where they are, out west. And they have a university studies for kids from K through 12, and they're doing meditation with their kids 3 times a day. Every day in school, morning, midday, and at the end of the day, they devote time for all the kids in their classrooms to devote time to meditation. Why? Because it improves their cognitive ability, their stress levels are kept down, they're healthy, they're happy. I mean, who'd have thunk it, right? Happiness is part of the equation of going to school. And they build that into the curriculum. Imagine if all the public schools built that in just once a day to just, like you say, a recess time to settle down and to relax and unwind a little bit, just for a few minutes.
Well, it's really funny the way our schools are designed. I mean, you're gonna have kids sitting in a classroom under artificial light, being taught about the dangers of the swine flu, being denied the sunlight that's just, you know, 10 feet away from them outside, but they're not going to be let outside. And they're going to be served a school lunch that, by and large, promotes infections and promotes immune suppression. And that's the other point we got to cover here, Jonathan, is the school lunches and what you can do as a parent to protect your kids from public food.
You know, why don't we move right to it? Because certainly this is a very personal issue with me. I don't mind talking about this with everyone. My own daughter's in college now. The point being that nutrition is so important. We all understand this. On an intuitive level, a common sense level, this makes perfect sense. If you're bombarded with lots of chemicals, if your food is devoid of nutrition, and then you send your child out to school, they're unprotected. That's truly a dangerous world.
Yeah.
So let's get right to it. With what are some of the options? What can they do? I mean, I'll talk about some of the things we've done with our daughter that we believe in 100%. But what would you say? What can kids do to start off their day in the morning? Some lunchtime, some after school stuff, snacks. Why don't we just talk about it?
All right. It's really pretty straightforward. But let me preface it by saying that kids that are in middle school and high school, they're not concerned about nutrition. The only thing that most of them are really concerned about is popularity, looking cool. And they don't want to be bringing bag lunches into the cafeteria because it just doesn't look cool to have, a big salad in a bag lunch. They're going to get teased. They want to eat the stuff that other kids are eating, right? You've had teenagers in the house, so you know what I'm talking about. So
absolutely.
You got to do what I call covert nutrition. You got to give them supplements and things that they can take before they eat the lunches at the school to protect them. For example,
absolutely,
you could take some spirulina or chlorella or astaxanthin or blue-green algae or just a multivitamin, a good multivitamin quality. You could take that before a school lunch, and then even if you eat stuff that's really bad, it's going to help dampen the negative effects until your kid gets back home and you can feed them, a superfood smoothie or something else. So You can
absolutely
use covert nutrition at the school.
With our own daughter, it's funny how you describe it, Mike. Covert nutrition. We didn't make it a big deal. I think this is an important thing to say, is just to say the obvious to all the parents out there. Don't make it such a stressful big deal. All we did was she was watching what we were doing. We were making superfood smoothies. I mean, there's lots of companies, Mike. I'm sure you've written about them on Natural News. If people just go onto your site, naturalnews.com, and they just check out, superfood smoothies, they'll get lots of ideas of how they can make delicious shakes, with some strawberries and banana and throw in some of these superfood powders. They're just absolutely delicious. So what did we do? We did all of this in front of her. We took omega-3 supplementation that we were taking as well. Astaxanthin, you've mentioned, Moxor is something that we've taken in our family. And we did all of this in front of her. And you know what? All of a sudden, you want to try this, you want to try that. She started doing it, and she liked it so much over the summer that, now she's taking all of this when she's away at college, and it's all there in the house that she rents with somebody else. And now other people are going to start getting interested in it as well. But this is how it all starts. You just lead by example. That's what I would say to the parents out there. Make it fun, make it tasty, and just start introducing stuff to your kids whenever you can, before school, after school, nighttime, whenever.
Yeah, again, you're right on track. Lead by example. I can't tell you how many parents I've talked to who say, oh, my kid's got a health problem, or, he's obese for his age, or, he's got allergies. I hear that a lot, allergies and asthma. And then you ask the parents, well, what's your diet like? What do you eat? And it's all processed junk food. But somehow they expect their kid to eat healthier than they do. Well, that's like expecting your kid to not smoke cigarettes, even though both parents smoke around the house all day. I mean, you got to set the example as the parent.
Hey there, Mike.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry. You just cut out for a moment. That's all.
All right. Well, again, just talking about setting the example. You got to do it as a parent. And that leads me to the obesity factor here. Obesity is emerging as the single most important factor for determining survivability of the swine flu. So if your kid is overweight right now, this might be a good motivation to help your child change their diet, add exercise to their lifestyle, and actually make a real effort to get fit as they go into these schools that are loaded with the swine flu virus.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something that is definitely not being put out much at all. You know, it was about a month ago, you had made a post about this breaking news story. It was an assistant principal, I believe. I can't be absolutely sure, but I think it was an assistant principal who had died from the swine flu. And they were already gearing up for this whole school season and how vaccines are going to be coming, and don't worry, and everybody will be protected just by thinking of a vaccine and nothing else. But, you know, when I saw a picture of the assistant principal that died, it was this gentleman. He was really, really heavy. I mean, morbidly obese. And so, you know, it's absolutely right on what you're saying. We have to take great care of our health if we're going to avoid these kind of things from being any kind of problem.
Well, yeah, and that's why extra recess is definitely called for once again. They're going to get sunshine. They're going to get exercise. So vitamin D levels will go up. Obesity levels will go down. I'm telling you, this year, if the country's concerned about a pandemic, they should triple the recess periods and just, you know, skip health class, make recess the health class. That's what they should be doing.
Well, absolutely. In my book, it's like, you know, vitamin D's right up there, but number one, and you've written about it many times too, number one is definitely rest. So if parents are out there now and they want to grab a pen and paper and they want to write down some things, certainly they've already got that clear. Rest, number one thing to keep the immune system strong, Mike. Vitamin D, make sure our vitamin D levels in ourselves and our children are up there. We're taking good care of ourselves with our nutrition. You want to talk about some of the things that we might be able to include for the kids to take, snacks or some superfoods that you like?
Yeah, definitely. Now, when it comes to kids, of course, you got to work with their limitations, what they're willing to drink or eat. So there's a whole range of things that you can do. On the easy side, you can even give them superfoods that you buy at the grocery store, like Naked Juice or Odwalla. Those are Coke and Pepsi products, but they are superfood juices in blends that taste really nice because they're made with apple juice and mango juice and banana puree and things like that. Now, that's not my number one recommendation. That's just for those kids.
Sure.
If that's all they're going to drink, then it's better than nothing. It's better than a can of Coke, you know? But if your kids are going to do more than that, and you can encourage them and you can lead by example and motivate them, then they can get into things like Boku Superfood or Living Fuel or Moxor, which is a really great source of omega-3s that also impacts health in lots of ways. I mean, you can read Natural News and look at the superfoods we recommend and just try them out and see what your kids are going to like. Living Fuel is very delicious. I was over at the house of the founder of Living Fuel, a guy named Casey Krejci, and he's got a young daughter. I think she was like 5, and she was over there chugging Living Fuel and loving every gulp. I mean, he's got all his kids on Living Fuel, and they love it, and they're super
healthy. Yeah, they got a bunch of kids. They're all drinking, and it's great.
Yeah.
And another thing that's with kids, especially the middle and the high school kids, Mike, is protein. All the kids that want to be athletic, now we're talking about this whole other group of kids who really pride themselves on being in shape and wanting to make school teams. Man, protein is so important, and Sun Warrior Protein, can't leave that out of the equation too. This is a high-quality, clean, simple product that you can blend up with water. It's creamy, and it's delicious. You want to make it fancy, put in a little piece of banana or something, whip it up, and it's great.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of protein, I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of these kids, especially young males who are on the wrestling team or on the football team, they're desperate to do anything to change their physique and put on muscle mass. I mean, they're slamming illegal hormones. They'll try anything because they don't really know about health yet. Well, a lot of the protein products...
Well, yeah, and also some of them, they're desperate about losing weight, which is just so crazy.
Yeah.
Just to think of not eating and not eating their body clean, high nutrition. Now, they're adding risk to injury, you know, for this whole fall season with this whole flu pandemic scare.
Oh yeah. Well, there's a whole new concern about that with athletic teams. I'll mention that in a moment. But on the protein side, let me just finish by saying a lot of the proteins that these kids are drinking are sweetened with aspartame or sucralose or other chemical sweeteners because they don't read ingredients labels. They don't know. They just buy whatever tastes good. Well, if you think about the swine flu vaccine, it is suspected of potentially causing neurological side effects. Now, what happens when you combine chemical artificial sweeteners, which have neurological side effects, with a swine flu vaccine that may have a neurological side effect as well? And you're lacking vitamin D, and you're lacking nutrition, and you're lacking sleep. That's when you get somebody who dies, you know, potentially. I mean, that's a high-risk kid right there.
You know, when you mention aspartame or artificial sweeteners, I mean, this is part of, like, you just started talking about the easy things for parents to do. Obviously, we want to stop the assault on our kids' bodies, you know, stop the diet sodas and all the high sugary processed foods. Obviously, that is eliminating a huge stress in our bodies. And if anyone has any doubt, I mean, again, going to your site, Mike, naturalnews.com, if they just search Dr. Russell Blaylock, a neurosurgeon, who talks like unbelievable about these excitotoxins and the stress on our bodies, it's just, you've got such great information on your site that people just have to check it out.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, Dr. Blaylock has several books out as well, and he warns about it. And you're right, a lot of the food that the kids eat today is loaded with excitotoxins, especially MSG. Now, you can get MSG in a bag of Doritos. You can get MSG in almost any kind of processed food that kids like to eat because they like this overexcited, chemically enhanced food.
But the deeper issue, Mike, is a lot of people go MSG in Chinese food. I thought they just removed that, though. They don't have that anymore. But it's under so many different names. That's why it's important to search this out more, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. It's in a lot of healthy foods. Vegetarian foods use an ingredient called yeast extract that contains up to, I believe, 14% MSG. And you got to look for that on labels.
Here's another healthy-sounding product, soy protein isolate, right?
Yeah.
That sounds really healthy. It's soy, and it's protein, so it sounds good, but really, this is some of the most dangerous stuff laced in all of these food products. Literally, thousands of food products have it. So it's really important that we take a deep breath, take a step back, and really investigate these things. So definitely on the list, right, Mike, because we got to get these superfoods into these kids. You're mentioning fruit juices, right, that are clean of the chemicals. You mentioned Living Fuel. I mentioned Sun Warrior Protein. What about some snacks?
Wow. Well, snacks are tough because, again, the kids really gravitate towards the chemically enhanced processed snacks. But, you know, the healthiest snacks are going to be just fresh fruits and fresh vegetables or unhydrogenated, non-hydrogenated peanut butter on a stick of celery, for example. But these are the kinds of foods that don't tend to excite a lot of mainstream kids who've grown up on, you know, Coca-Cola and Doritos and pizza and donuts. So if your kids won't eat this healthy stuff, then you got a real challenge. You've got to retrain their taste expectations, get them off the super salty, super sweet, super enhanced foods, and get them onto some super natural foods or just super foods with good nutrition. That's the key. And realize this too, Jonathan, that There's a cumulative chemical burden on any kid or any human being. You know, if you're exposed to these chemicals in your laundry soap and then some more chemicals through the pesticides on the school lawn and some more chemicals through your foods and some more chemicals through the psychiatric drugs maybe somebody put you on, this stuff adds up. And for some kids, the swine flu vaccine is the last straw. It's the one thing that puts them over the edge and puts them into a coma or could potentially even kill them. Hopefully that won't happen, but I imagine it will to somebody.
Well, sure. Listen, in 1976, you know, you put out a lot of stuff on your site, and it's out there for anyone to see. We've gone through this before. My friend, Dr. Nicholas DiMartino, he's talked about this since the early 1900s. This is not new. That's the thing, too, that I think is probably surprising to a large group of people out there. We've gone through this before. In 1976, we had the swine flu pandemic scare, and everyone's got to get vaccinated. I remember, I was just young, but I remember that big gun that they had everybody lining up, and they wanted to shoot everybody in the arm with this big gun that was a swine flu vaccination that was going to protect us all. And there was very few people died from the actual flu, but the vaccination is what caused all these injuries, and there are thousands of cases, right, of harm that were done from just the vaccination alone.
Yeah, thousands of people. Some were paralyzed, some died. I mean, many people died. And it was such an embarrassment that the federal government ended up having to pay out millions of dollars, which was actually a lot of money in the 70s. Now they pay out trillions, but back then it was millions. They paid out all this money to settle with the people. And then, you know what they did after that? Not immediately, but in time, they granted immunity to the drug companies for all vaccines. So instead of making the vaccines safe, they just grant them immunity.
This is something, you know, I know you've reported on it a lot, Mike, and people in the natural health industry, we get it. We've heard it a lot. But, Mike, you go on the street and you talk to people, this can't even be believed that the maker of a product, right, these drugs, these vaccines, has no liability. Whatever happens, nobody can believe this, that they can't be, a lawsuit can't be brought against them if someone gets harmed by this. They're absolutely free of that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. There's no recourse, which, of course, you know, brings to mind the question of what's the incentive for the company to have any real quality control? There's no incentive. I mean, they make money just by selling vaccines, period. Once that vaccine leaves their factory, that's it. That's the end of their responsibility. Whatever happens to you or your children or your grandma, whatever happens, if they get paralyzed or die, it's not their problem. They just say it's your problem. And you watch, Jonathan, if people start dying from this vaccine or having serious side effects, there will be blanket denials by the drug companies saying, no, it's not us. It's just coincidence. Just coincidence.
Yep.
That these people are dying.
Yeah, they won't tie it to the vaccine at all.
No.
But going back to what we can do to empower the parents, when it comes back to the nutrition, some of the ideas for snacks, you mentioned the celery and the peanut butter and just making sure, looking at the ingredients. What about some of these other foods? I mean, they're cereals, right? Like you said, it really is challenging. If a kid wants something sweet or they want something crunchy, there's just so many alternatives, right? If they can't get it in their supermarket, go to the health food store. If they can't get it at a health food store, which I can't imagine. If you go to a small enough health food store, I know the one that I go to, they're fantastic. You know, they'll work with you. Tell them what you're looking for. If you're looking for a crunchy cereal or some sort of sweet bar that's fruit juice sweetened that doesn't have any of the chemicals, they're going to be more than happy to show you all these options for your kid and just keep trying these things out, right, Mike? I mean,
that's
all it is.
There are all kinds of food bars out there now that taste really great. I mean, you can get, like, J. Rob has some nice food bars. Garden of Life company, Jordan Rubin's company, they have some great food bars. They're really packed with nutrition. And if you know, you just feed your kids some food bars. If that's all they're going to eat, it's better than nothing. But we got to cover one important area here, Jonathan, which is what can parents do to help their kids on the day that they get vaccinated? Because a lot of parents are going to go ahead and agree to the vaccinations, right?
Yep. So what do we do then? What is it to detoxify and to protect the body? Obviously, the issue there, Mike, is something's being put into the system that is definitely going to trigger an immune response.
That's right.
So how can we soften that stress and that load on the body? What should happen?
Well, my my advice as a nutrition journalist, not as a doctor or, you know, or a physician, but just as someone who's been reading about this and studying it a lot, is that for 48 hours before your child gets an injection, you should have them on all kinds of superfoods. I mean, they should be loading up on superfood powders and superfood mixes and food bars, and their diet should be totally clean and very nutrient dense during that entire time. And it's got to include vitamin C and astaxanthin, which is it helps protect the nervous system. I think that's crucial for vaccinations. And then after the vaccine, they need to continue this for at least another 24 hours. 48 would be even better. So if your kid's going to get the vaccine, have 48 hours before the vaccine and 48 hours after the vaccine, where your child is loaded up on these superfoods. And if you do that, you are greatly reducing any risk of neurological problems. You're not eliminating them completely, but you are giving your child a far better odds than almost any other child out there.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to be done with this subject after tonight's call. In fact, right before the show, I had spoken to my friend Dr. Nicholas DiMartino, who's practicing medicine in Pennsylvania. He is about to come out. He's going to be launching exactly what you're bringing up. What can you do to soften that immune system response, that violent reaction that could happen if you take the swine flu vaccine? What can you do to counter the negative effects? He's going to have a whole protocol put out, completely natural, and he's going to put it out very soon, and we're going to make it in video content. And I think we should definitely have him on as a guest, Mike. Yeah, we should definitely revisit this topic and talk about it for sure.
Yeah, because I think that's a great idea. This is a lot like chemotherapy. You know, some people are convinced that chemotherapy is what they need. So, well, you know, you can't convince everybody to avoid it. So for those who are going to go through with it, what can they do to protect themselves? Well, they can use superfoods, and they can use nutrition, and they can keep their healthy cells protected, even while they're being poisoned with chemotherapy. So, and the same thing with the vaccine. If you're going to go ahead with the vaccine, well, at least here are some things that you can do to protect yourself. Bottom line, though, of course, is that we don't recommend, I mean, I don't think you do either, we don't recommend having your kids vaccinated with the swine flu vaccine. I mean,
no, but I think what you're saying is no matter what position that someone takes, no one should get so caught up on anything, one item that we're bringing up on the show, Mike, is that it's an informed decision. Your eyes are wide open.
That's right.
You understand everything about it. And it's too much for the show, but, you know, perhaps we should do a whole show on it, is the issue of what is in the vaccine. And, again, I just don't think, I am definitely not one that recommends that people should just go to the doctor's office, roll up their sleeves, and just take anything. Nor should anyone be listening to the show and just take anything that we say and just, you know, close their eyes and just do what we say. I mean, that's not where it's at, Mike. It should be an informed decision. People should take their time, investigate the issues, and do what's most comfortable for them. I think we should spend a little bit of time in the show, Mike, about some of these natural remedies, right? What if your child comes home and has a scratchy throat or feels a little run down, you know? You talk so much on your site about these natural remedies, throat sprays, medicinal mushrooms, you know? Maybe we should talk a little bit about that. What are some of the natural medicine, the remedies that we could have in our home?
Yeah, we'll cover that. Let me just answer one thing you hinted at earlier, though, about people being informed. And you're absolutely right. People should be informed. And yet,
sure,
they should be informed about the risk versus benefit of any vaccine that they're about to take. And that is precisely the area that they are not being informed on by anyone, any mainstream newspaper or, you know, White House or CDC. I actually did an article on that. I'm sure you saw it. By my calculations, based on the current fatality rates of the swine flu, you would have to vaccinate 200,000 kids to save the life of one kid who would have otherwise died from a swine flu infection. You got that? 200,000 kids. In other words, if you're thinking that you're vaccinating your child, thinking you're going to save his life, that child is actually 40 times more likely to be struck by lightning than to have his life saved by that vaccine.
If you do the math, it's ridiculous. But the numbers sound so crazy to most people, Mike. I agree, because it goes back to what we said at the beginning of the show. The mindset here through mass media is there's only one reasonable choice. Almost like turn off your brain, don't think, to prevent the swine flu, get the shot. That's it. It's just like 1976. It's being replayed again. And to me, it's mindless. I mean, yeah. When you come up with these numbers, it's just, it's true. These are statistical things. This is data. You just see the percentages, but nobody is talking about this in the mass media.
No, it's really funny because, you know, the CDC and all these epidemiologists and infectious disease experts, they're normally very scientific and very mathematical. But on this issue, swine flu, you're exactly right. They've all signed up for the turn off your brain bandwagon. Don't think, just inject. And, you know, I'm completely against that. I think that people should be informed of the risks and the potential benefits, and that analysis should be apparent to people, and that parents should then be able to make a decision based on that analysis. I mean, I wouldn't, injecting 200,000 kids to save the life of one child, my guess is that by injecting 200,000, you're going to kill more than one just from the injections.
Right, without a doubt.
So, you know, you're not going to save any lives overall. The net loss of life is going to be greater by doing the vaccines.
So what are some of the natural medicines, Mike?
All right.
What can we do for – obviously, we talked about rest and some of these other natural things we can do in nutrition. But what about in terms of the natural medicine cabinet? Let's talk a little bit about that.
All right. There's a lot there that you can do. First thing is take them out of school and let them sleep as long as they want. Get lots and lots of rest. Lots of water. They got to be hydrated to have a fully functioning immune system. And if possible, get them outside so they can get some sunshine. They can get some fresh air. So the indoor toxins that are present in most households are not contributing to their difficulty breathing, for example, or asthmatic type of conditions. You know, most indoor air quality in homes is quite poor. So get your kids outside and get them some sunlight. In terms of what they can take medicinally, there are all kinds of antivirals. You've got astragalus, you've got reishi mushroom, you've got echinacea, you've got green tea, spirulina, vitamin C, high-dose vitamin C can be very effective as well. I mean, you've got products out there like John Barron's Super Viragon from Baseline Nutritionals. That's a great antiviral product. You've got it's endless, really. I mean, if you just go search for antivirals, you know, natural antiviral herbs, you'll find a huge list. And
the value of medicinal mushrooms, you know, you mentioned reishi mushrooms, is they're immune adaptogens. That's what's so powerful. I mean, most pharmaceutical drugs come from plants. I mean, most people don't even think about this for a moment, but that's the simple truth, Mike. They come from plants. Plants have an unbelievable amount of intelligence and strength in them. These medicinal mushrooms are so powerful, once you consume them, they adapt to your system. They help you. Well, you might be ramped up too much. It calms you down. You might be deficient. It brings you up. And it just really helps regulate your immune system. So for me, it's a critical thing. Everyone should have medicinal mushrooms in some way or another in their house. I mean, you mentioned, I think, in the past, the beginning of the show, the company New Chapter. This is another company that people should be looking into, but they have a throat spray. You feel something scratchy in your throat, just blast your throat.
Hey, New Chapter also has a mushroom product called Host Defense, and it's a powerful combination of medicinal herbs. In fact, yeah, I'm looking at the ingredients right now. It's got over a dozen medicinal herbs in it. Most of them are adaptogenic. Another company is called Dragon Herbs, Ron Teagarden's company, dragonherbs.com. Outstanding, high-quality Chinese medicine-based formulas. You know, Chinese medicine can beat this thing in no time. I mean, you know, the Tamiflu antiviral that's being touted by the drug companies is made by extracting an acid called shikimic acid from a Chinese medicine herb. That's where it comes from.
It's amazing, and no one knows that. You know, there's another simple thing that we've given our daughter. I mean, the throat spray is one that I've mentioned, of course. Elderberry lozenges. This is another thing from New Chapter. It's another product. It's so simple. Elderberry lozenges. Just put it in your mouth. It's actually very tasty. It's got like a fruity taste. It colors your tongue purple, but so what?
Yeah.
This is another great thing to have absorbed into your system to just build, to just give you that buffer, that defense shield against what might be brewing inside. And I couldn't agree with you more. When someone's getting run down and feeling bad, definitely getting your body's being congested, just rest, decompress, and the water aspect is huge. Just to get hydrated and get those toxins out of you, literally flush your body with water. It's common sense.
Yeah, that is absolutely huge. And there's another company I want to mention their products here. It's called North American Herb and Spice. The website is P as in Peter - 57, just 57.com. And they've got some amazing products for easing inflammation and for enhancing respiratory health using spice extracts like organic or wildcrafted oregano from Turkey is in some of their products. And I think this can be hugely important for people who are suffering, let's say, a secondary bacterial pneumonia infection of their lungs following a swine flu infection or some other viral infection. So, you know, these products, I've got them stocked up in my house just in case, and I recommend that everybody else take a look at these as well.
Right. I mean, there's just so many other things. I mean, camu, that's another, you know, it's from a fruit tree in the Amazon. It's just such a high concentration of vitamin C. Vitamin C alone, I mean, most people I would think that have been thinking about natural health have heard about Linus Pauling. I mean, just, my God, so much information just on vitamin C. But, you know, not 60 milligrams a day. The recommended daily allowance of these nutritional elements that we're bringing up, you know, your B complex, you make sure you have enough vitamin D in your system and vitamin C, all of these things, zinc levels, you can't go by the recommended daily allowance. I mean, it's not enough for a rat to survive. Forget about us as humans and our daily lives.
Yeah, that's so true. You got to go with real world doses here, and you also got to consider the additional stress being placed on your system by the infection is likely to deplete nutrients just by itself. So when you're fighting something, you might need double or triple the typical dose, especially for water-soluble vitamins. I mean, the only time you can really get into a serious overdose is with fat-soluble vitamins. Like, you can overdose on vitamin D if you're crazy, stupid, just eating massive amounts of vitamin D. But, you know,
it would take a lot of work.
you'd have to try to commit suicide or something. And it would not be a pleasant way to do it.
It's very difficult to do. All of this stuff, is like we said before, pick out what's comfortable. You don't have to do everything we've mentioned on this show, but pick out some of the things. But I think it's very important, it's the last point we brought up. When a body is unhealthy, pale white skin, not even enough energy to exercise, Mike, right? The immune system is down. The energy levels are down in our children, right, and even in ourselves. It's very important to understand that whatever we're choosing, we're really taking sufficient amounts to have a significant effect on our bodies, right?
It's like,
okay, I'm going to get healthy now, and I'll have a bowl of salad at lunchtime. I mean, it's no offense to the salad lovers out there, but if we're really deficient, it's just not going to bring our levels up. That's why I like this whole concept of superfoods, really super high nutrient levels in your food. I mean, ridiculously high dosages in easily absorbable foods, powders, smoothies you can make, teas. I mean, there are Amazon herb teas that you can make that boost your immune system, squeeze some lemon in it. Really great stuff that's super high concentrated in nutrients and very low in calories, easy to absorb. this, I think, is just a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got to get on this stuff and do it.
I'm glad you mentioned Amazon Herbs. That's a company that I really support. Their whole product line is essentially antiviral, the Amazon Herb company. Everything they have is antiviral because they're made from South American herbs for the most part. Some are Chinese herbs. It's just another great example of some of the things that you can do. But here's an important point that covers all this, that don't wait for your kid to get sick before introducing them to these supplements or superfoods, because that's absolutely the wrong time. These substances need to be familiar to them and familiar to their digestive systems. Otherwise, they could cause a reaction. I mean, you gotta get them on these healthy products well before they actually need them. Yeah.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah.
We just cut out when you were talking about how it has to be put into place before your child gets sick.
Right.
It's the worst time to think logically when your kids come home with like 103 fever. Okay, we're going to change your diet.
Right. That's not going to fly. Their system has to be used to it in advance of the emergency.
We've got to take, there's no doubt, it's very clear from, I hope, from this show, we must take a proactive approach so that we can calm the nerves, reduce the fear, and just empower people with increasing their knowledge, their education, their experiential knowledge of, like you say, knowing what is this all about, and hey, this is fun. It tastes good. I like the way this drinks, you know, this goes down into me. I'm going to do this on a regular basis. And then watch how all this other stuff just falls away. I mean, I haven't been sick in years, thank God, Mike, but it's not by accident, you know?
That's right. It's never by accident. And you know, Western medicine wants you to think that swine flu strikes like lightning and it's an accident, that it's just random chance. Oh, bad luck. Your kid got swine flu. Too bad. Well, it's not random, and you can control it. You can give your child the immune system that can overcome not only this infection, but infections that are far more aggressive. You know, this swine flu infection is very mild. I mean, very few
Absolutely.
People are dying Mike, from it.
We could do another hour easily, but I want to respect everybody's time out there. So if you have any other parting words for today, we're certainly going to have you on again. I know you're going to be coming on as a surprise guest, a planned guest for many other shows in the future, but anything else you'd like to add for everybody out there?
No, just wanted to thank you, Jonathan, for helping to organize this, and for all of you listening, thank you for taking the time to listen, and we are going to have a good show right here for you each Thursday evening. You're going to be blown away with the quality of the guests and the information. In fact, Jonathan, are you going to announce our guest for next week?
Yeah, I'd like to say it right now, you know, but before I do that, Mike, again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. Next week, I'll be hosting another great show right here on Natural News Talk Hour with Dr. Julian Whitaker. We'll be talking about drug-free solutions for diabetes, but you can be sure we're going to be going into much more than that. If you know someone that would like to hear these shows, registration is free, but you got to tell them to go to naturalnews.com, select any article that they'd like to read, and just to the right, they'll be able to register today. And we'll talk again really soon. I wish everybody a great night.
Thank you, Jonathan.
But they can't charge a $50 fee unless they inject you. They infect you. They stick a needle in your arm and chemically wreck you. They use you. They abuse you. They say they're saving your life while they really confuse you. What?